You are now tuned in to New York's very own Minx Couture. All the opinions and views expressed on this show are from mine and my only. I take responsibility for everything I say. And if you're gonna be all up in your feelings, then this is not the platform for you. Because this is The Minx Show.
What is up? What is up? What is up? This is everyone's favorite Minx. All right. So we are here. It is the 30th of November. So we made it, you know, we got through Thanksgiving, even though there wasn't a lot to be thankful for.
Bruh.
Besides high prices, food, cost of living, everything is difficult. So, you know, a lot of people, they're not seeing the thankful part of it. You know, they're not seeing their benefits that they have reaped from being hard workers. And, you know, that is totally understandable. You know, there was a lot of people that chose to tap out this season, mainly because of the growing conflicts that is going on over in Gaza. And, you know, it's just it's a hard time for a lot of people. So, of course, you know, again, I don't own the rights to the music. You know, I fuck with Audius. Audius is dope, even though Spotify gave us the shaft. And told us that we weren't worth a penny or a fraction of a penny. So, you know, today's podcast is going to be more ranty than normal. But I'm going to be doing my best to, you know, curb the expletives. I'm working on my profanity because I hope to be taken seriously as a radio host someday. So, you know, I will do my best to not have this entirely profanity laced. So if I could do it, we're gonna do it. If we can't, you know, get me out of here. Okay, I was about to curse, but I caught myself. It's a work in progress. It really is. Okay, so you know, I want to talk about a couple of things. A couple of conversations that's been going on in these interwebs. You know, just make sure that, you know, you don't take what I say to heart. You know, this is just what I feel. Again, you heard at the top of the show, these are my opinions. These are my thoughts, my feelings. And if they resonate, great. If they don't hate. Just leave your grievances at the end of the show. If you are listening to the show on Spotify, there is a little survey that pops up at the end. Even some Q&As and other ways that you can support the platform with keeping the conversation going. So this is exactly what we are doing. We're trying to be professional because the art of podcasting is just not what it used to be. I've said this on several other, you know, commercial shows that I've been invited on. You know, just the art of podcasting is just not where it was. When I started podcasting, it was literally just a audio journal of the social media climate on conversations, news stories, maybe things that you enjoy, like, you know, crime stories. And you just had a small community of people that gathered around for 45 minutes to an hour, to listen to either guests or your opinions, even the opinions of listeners that have submitted information prior to the show or even during the show if you were doing live streams. But now it is just a cesspool of people that just want to go viral. So the hot takes get even hotter and it just totally floods the airwaves of individuals like myself who have content and shows and ideas that they want to present. So, you know, again, this all ties into the entire climate of this particular episode. I don't really have a name for it yet. I usually just get on here and start yapping. But I think that we're going to be leaning towards the grass ain't greener. I think we're going to call this the grass ain't greener. That makes sense. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. I would say, you know, a lot of us have been getting a little bit tired of Elon. You know, Elon has taken his application and is treating it totally how they treated Vine, like the unofficial stepchild that nobody really wants to claim, even though it was an amazing application. Once Twitter acquired it, they murdered it, they murked it, they yeeted it out of here, and they couldn't make, you know, they couldn't make money off of it. You know, at the time, it was all about advertising. You know, you remember a lot of these people that are still relevant to this day, like Lily Pons and King Bach. You know, these were faces that really entertained us for 6 seconds a slide. And, you know, they were unique. And, you know, the attention was not really focused on long form content. It was if you can grasp my attention for 6 seconds and have me laughing and wanting to follow your next footsteps of the next 6 seconds of your skits or your life, Vine was that baddie, you know, Vine was the baddie. But then, you know, Twitter took it and killed it, just like how they did with a lot of features that we enjoyed, like Periscope, which was an amazing live streaming platform. This was like before Twitch was a thing. You went on Periscope, you were able to go live wherever you were. There was the location feature so you can watch live streams within a 5 to 10 mile radius or wherever you lived. You know, you had your faves that just cammed up. You know, there was no overlays. There was no fancy background music. It was just you and your audience and a super heart if you were nasty. But it changed, you know, they killed that next. And at the end of the day, you know, I myself as a content creator, I can say that I am so sick and tired of seeing another platform sunset or go down the slippery slope of we can't monetize. So we're going to, you know, like in the mafia movies, you know, they burn it down. They burn down the joint and then they run out and they said it wasn't me. You know, I didn't do anything. I did everything I could to keep this business running, but of course, this is not what's happening here. So we have been heading over to different applications and trying things, which some people have gone to places like Discord, which is dope. You know, if you miss that AOL chat room buddy list style life, Discord is for that. It is perfectly for that. You can live stream in there. You can have little hangouts. You know, it's just a community-led platform, you know, which a lot of us join when we, you know, follow new streaming services or companies or brands or even our favorite content creators, just to keep in touch and to have so many communities lit up like a freaking Christmas tree on the side. You know, that's what they ask. Follow me. And, you know, we follow you and then we don't know what to do because there's just so many people we have to keep up with. But I'm cool with that. At least I get to see it. You know, me not seeing your content is my fault. You know, it's not the fault of the algorithm. It is my fault. Oopsie daisy. So I have been testing that out. You know, I went over to Mastodon. I like Mastodon. It's just it's a lot of people just go on to these side platforms to complain about the main platforms that they really enjoy. And it just takes away the fun, you know, from constantly talking about the popular cat at school. You know, we just don't we don't need to bring that to where we go. You know, they're not at the party. They're not at the club. Why are we inviting their energy there? You know, so it is what it is. So, of course, Instagram has dropped a platform called Threads. And with Threads, you know, I was like, okay, I can get with this. But the issue that I have with Threads is, you know, again, it's a Facebook product. You know, it's a Facebook product. People literally walk around in there like it's like the first days of Clubhouse, like their shit doesn't stink. Like, you're so perfect. You're so perfect. Thank you. Thank you for coming onto the platform and letting us know that we aren't shit, giving us advice we didn't ask for. Like, we thank you. You know, that's going to grow your page. Then you do it. I'm a person that joins these platforms and I see these types of people, which is like, it's bullying to me. I call it content bullying. It's like you want to say something to a specific person, but instead of actually saying it to that person, like, you have the cojones, you get on with this whole people do this and people say that. And, you know, I'm just like, just say what you mean, tag the person, and just have a little balls about it. Stop being afraid. But then, of course, this it introduces conversations where people feel attacked. And this is what I don't understand. What the hell is so wrong with a person that feels personally attacked about something, right? If a person feels personally attacked by a post that was literally designed to attack people, why on earth do y'all get on your high horse to call people mad? You're mad. You are mad. You need to go find yourself somewhere to go to heal. You're mad. Well, that's what you wanted. That's the energy that you invited with that post, right? So there's a lot of that shit going on. So, of course, me, I'm replying back as a collective because it is more than one person or persons talking shit. So I'm that person. I'm like, use me as the like button. I'm going to say what you want to reply to these people, but you're not. And you can just use me as the like button and the reshare button so that you can like subliminally use my content to talk shit to that person. I am that person online, right? I don't necessarily speak for myself. Usually I am an empath and sometimes I see content that would bother another person who probably won't say anything, but like, damn, like, why would you say it like that? I'm like, no, I am your share button. I am your like button. I am saying the things that you want to say. And now you can share it and laugh and say, oh, wow, I didn't know people out here really thought like me. Yes, I am that person usually. I have my good days and my bad days, like I tell people. You know, I'm not a love and light, honky-dory, everything is flowers and roses. You know, I have my days where I am in a dungeon where there's a bunch of little underground critters that are crawling all over my brain because I have to process such bullshit that I accept and invite into my life. Because at the end of the day, we are staring at a screen that we can turn off at any time, right? We can walk away. We can unsign. We could just like take all of our information off of these platforms. We can say, I'm leaving this platform. I'm deleting my pages. We don't do that. So we also feed into the bullshit. So it's like, I'm blaming you, but I'm also blaming me too, because it takes two to tango in a world of chaos. And yeah, I want to be able to manage my chaos to, you know, where I don't lose my shit. So today's topic, first, is I want to talk about the art community on Threads, the graphic artists, these folks. All right. So for some strange reason, on Threads, the biggest convo is talking about AI and art, right? AI. These graphic designers feel threatened by artificial intelligence. So instead of just using their platforms to form a community and just share their content and just be so loving and inviting, and yeah, they decided to form a posse to attack people and small communities of AI artwork, to ridicule them and, you know, tell them that their creations are evil. And I'm just like, honey, listen.
Bruh.
My question is, what in the hell were y'all doing before AI? Like, what were y'all doing before AI? Because I'll tell you one thing that you weren't doing is that you weren't exercising proper client brand business, okay? Now, when I say that is that, you know, I'm reading these conversations. I'm not jumping into every single one of them, but I'm reading these conversations about how AI is disrupting the market and how you guys can't sell and how, you know, it's very difficult to convince a person to want to commission you for work as opposed to commissioning a prompt for artificial intelligence to render an image or something. And I say, do you not see this exchange that we are having? Maybe that's why more people are going to artificial intelligence, because they're not going to be haggled. They're not going to be treated like shit when you're asking for a turnaround time of when work is going to be completed. You know, we're not going to deal with, hey, you know, could you just like fix this part, because, you know, this part is not, they're not, AI doesn't get an attitude. They just make another render of it. It gets done. And I'm saying this from a perspective as an artist, right? I am actually an artist. Besides music, I do art. I do painting. I do coloring. I do virtual reality art. I just do canvases. I do all of that, right? I actually launched an art gallery, which I'm going to show towards the end. I launched my own art gallery of all the pandemic paintings that I did. And this was all on canvas, okay? Canvas. And I mean really mixing paint, you know, not like going into a palette, a digital palette, and just taking colors and just like dropping them onto a screen. No, this, we did real art. And I'm saying it in this condescending way, intentionally. I really am, because I'm matching energy. And the energy that I'm seeing online is a bunch of, you know, nonsense. So like I'll say to a digital artist, like, okay, so quick question. So an AI, a person that's using AI, rendering AI, and they have a community doing art and stuff, you're saying that they're full of shit. They're not real artists. You know, they're stealing work. They're doing this and that. A person that does not understand how artificial intelligence works, how the data works. It's just, you guys are not on that level. You know, you see digital artwork and you're saying they stole that. It stole that. You don't understand what AI is, how it works, how it actually renders an image from looking at thousands of images, millions of images from the inception of the internet. But it's stealing your art directly, right? It is being taught a concept. It's concept. Now, some people take these concepts and decide to push that off as I made this. And that's wrong. I don't agree with that. That's why I believe that any art that is rendered through artificial intelligence, there should be some kind of stamp that says that this was not created by a full human. Okay. However, if you don't understand how artificial intelligence gets the data and all that stuff for it to work, then you don't have a right to tell someone. Because if you're saying that someone stole somebody's art, the thing is that you can't license or copyright an idea like that. Art is subjective. So a person decides that they want to draw a woman. You're telling me that the individual that drew the Mona Lisa can sue you because it kind of looks similar to that? That's not how that works. And again, speaking from an artist's perspective, right? Having a stylus is not the same as a paintbrush. It's not the same as a pencil. So you're using a digital aid to help you with your art. right? So let's say you have been commissioned for art to draw anime or whatever the case may be, right? And a person could just go to a digital station and render their own products. That's great, right? It's never going to be perfect, right? It's never going to look like it was created by a human. So at the end of the day, if a person is using that as a aid to help them create their art, that's not a problem. I don't feel that's an issue, right? You feel that that's an issue. You feel that people are stealing art and trying to pass it off as their own, which a lot of people have done. I'm not negating that. I'm not saying that that is not what's happening. What I'm saying is what's happening here is that you are an artist, a graphic designer, a person that has commissioned work before. You did not practice your proper ways of staying in contact with your past clients. You did not collect emails. You have not kept a relationship with any of these people that have purchased or commissioned your art. So why do you seem to think that AI is stepping on your toes when you're the one that blew your own bag? You blew it, right? You blew it. Because if you are an artist or any type of person in your field that is really interested in what you do, you need to be aware of your surroundings at all times. When we saw in 2020 that artificial intelligence was able to render artwork, that should have been the time when you should have solidified your contacts. You should have spoken to your clients. You should have let them know that, look, I know that this is a new type of art that is coming out, but please keep in mind, through an email blast, please keep in mind that I am always available. My shop is always open. I'm always available to do commission work. I will work with your budget. You have not done that. And all you guys sit and do is talk shit about other people. And it doesn't make sense. So I said in my post, I don't feel threatened by AI at all because I took the time to learn it. You got to always know the tools of thy enemy. So while everybody's looking left, I'm over here looking right at what is coming, right? So let's keep going. So it's the same thing with like producers, you know, the same shit. AI can come and take your job, allegedly. They can make beats. You can sound like you did a feature with Drake and all that. Once again, how do you feel threatened in an economy where you were warned that this was coming? So then you are not on the up and up and in the know of what is happening within your industry. That's your bag you blew. Right? That's your bag you blew. You are not moving as a professional. Every single company, brand, and business is aware of competition. And if competition is artificial intelligence to you, then this is the time that you should be doing a lot of market research on your competition. So that's the first thing I want to say. You guys are out of pocket. If you guys care so much about your art and the art community, then you would not be sitting there arguing and creating content to be negative, because it's negative content, right? Telling other people what you deem is art is negative, okay? Bob Ross is not going to tell you that your little anime cartoon that you drew with a template, he's not going to tell you that that's not art to him. He's going to tell you that if that's what you perceive as your creation of art, then it is art, right? So let's go into what art is in the online etymology dictionary. So art is the skill as a result of learning or practice. This is in the 13th century from the old French art from the 10th century. It is a work of art, a practical skill, a business, a craft, right? To prepare, to fit together, right? This is what art is, which is also subjective, right? So how is it not art to know how to write a specific digital prompt to get an image that you want to see? That is a skill that is required. You can't just go to an AI generator and say, make me this. This is why you have individuals that were thinking ahead and looking ahead. We're making a killing on Gumroad for specific prompts, right? Because life is a prompt, command prompt of life. So you have to prompt these machines. So with a prompt, if a person says, I am going to sell my PDF for $5.99 of every prompt that will help you stay on the straight edge as a new content creator on TikTok. And they are making a fucking killing while you're complaining. I'm just keeping it a buck, right? So the grass isn't greener, right? The grass is not greener on the other side because you are putting a shadow and shade on your own grass. So it's not going to grow. You're trying to shade other people that literally got it. And again, I'm not defending artificial intelligence. I am defending a person's right to use it. That's what I'm defending. Okay, so art, again, you guys need to stop, right? It just needs to stop. I also want to talk about, since we're on the AI conversation, the history of robots, right? Because nobody ever wants to talk about the history of robots. And I actually was reading this on Wikipedia. And again, Wikipedia, I'm so sorry. You know, if I had it, I don't even have $3 to my name, Wiki. I wish I did. I really feel terrible every time I visit Wikipedia because of this guilt trip ass banner to make me feel like I am not shit because I'm just trying to gather information and data. So again, I'm sorry, Wikipedia. Hopefully if I make any money off of ads, I will pay it forward to you guys. And yeah. Okay, so look, the history of robots. A lot of people, you guys like don't wake up one day and say, I want to know why this is. Like, why did this happen? Why is this created? Why did Michael Jackson blow up off of doing the robot for every little thing? Like, what was it about robots? You know, why is the idea of robots so prevalent in today's times? Bots, botting. With the streams, with Spotify, everything is botted. You know, you have your artificial intelligence bots that are target bots that hang out on social media to discredit people because that's what they are deployed to do. But nobody really said, what is a bot? What is the history of a bot? Why are bots even here? What is the purpose? So let's talk about it. So it says the history of robots and its origins in the ancient world. That's not even a sentence. What the? Anyway. So listen to this. Damn. Like, we get it. All right. Jeez. Oh my gosh. It's really hard. It really is hard, isn't it? Anyway. The pop-ups. I kept getting pop-ups. We get it. Okay, so in the early legends, concepts of artificial servants and companions date back at least back, I said that, date as far back, I'm going to get it, as ancient legends of Cadmus, who was said to have sown dragon teeth that turned into soldiers, and I'm saying it in my head, right? Pygmalion? Anyway, basically, they had soldiers whose statues came to life, right? So ancient mythologies included artificial people as the talking mechanical handmaidens, ancient Greek golden maidens that were built by the Greek god, I can't even say these words, Hephaestus? So anyway, in 596 AD, they described a humanoid, a Buddhist scholar described a humanoid that was crafted from metals that recite sacred texts, which housed a fabulous clock. The precious metal people wept when Buddha Sakyamuni died. Humanoid animations also featured the epic King Gesar, an Central Asian cultural hero. So again, they have a history, the bots. They're just, it's complicated. it's a complicated origin for these bots. So let's go down. So it says, early Chinese lore on the legendary carpenter Lu Ban and the philosopher Ma Zi describe mechanical imitations of animals and demons. The implications of humanoid adamants were discussed in the 4th century CE, a compilation Daoist texts, which went on to become a classic. In Chapter 5, King Mu of Zhu is on tour of the West, and upon asking craftsman Master Yan Shi, what can you do? The royal court is presented with an artificial man. The ornamentation was indistinguishable from human and performed various tricks for the king and his entourage. But the king flew into a rage, get this, when apparently the ornamentation started to flirt with the ladies. The bot had the riz. And in attendance and threatened the ornamentation with execution. So basically, I guess it's safe to say that if the bots decide to try to have relationships with women, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. So, you know, you already got the little, you know, specific toys that you can play with that are not real male parts or women parts. Same thing with men that are using devices in exchange for actual human affection and pleasure and touch. This is what we have gotten to. Yo, Minx, why'd you say it like that? I'm so sorry. So they have a history, y'all. Johnny Five has a history. Johnny Five was big back then. Okay, so again, a lot of these cycles that happen within time, there is a battle that involves robots. There is a battle that involves tech. Like this, of artificial beings, right? So, and this goes back like BC, like before Christ, there were bots, y'all. And these bots were either made of bronze or wood covered with gold, which struck the ground with their tails and roared with an open mouth, quivering tongue. Its branches filled with birds, likewise made of bronze, these emitted cries appropriate to their species. The emperor's throne itself was made into such a cunning manner. At one moment, it was down on the ground, while at another, it was higher to be seen in the air. And this is about this particular bot that was in the Middle Ages when this guy visited Constantinople in 949. Okay, you guys give me my props, please, because this is real, real. It's hard. It's very hard. Anyway, now we're talking about other empires such as the Byzantines, the Arabs. It's like there has been bots for so long. For so long. This is a diagram of Su Song's book in 1092 CE showing the inner workings of his clock tower. A clock is a robot, y'all. A clock is a robot. So here's where it gets even crazier. So it says, among the first verifiable ornamentation is a humanoid drawn by Leonardo da Vinci. So you have da Vinci, allegedly, who created a bot as well. So this is Leonardo's robot with inner workings, possibly constructed by Leonardo da Vinci around the year 1495. Didn't Columbus sail the seas at 1492? Bruh. Which doesn't make any sense to me, because when I think about it, you know, I was asking ChatGPT the other day, like, what is the purpose of slavery? Like, what was the purpose of going to these continents and taking people and putting them into lifelong servitude when you had bots to do it? You had bots that could have been in those fucking fields picking cotton, bro. Bruh. You had bots, but they chose to go after people. So these are the questions that I've said, like, you know, if they had the technology back then to use bots for certain things, for war, you're telling me that you had to kidnap and annihilate an entire group of people with different genocides when you could have just built bots? So we have the 17th century thinker of his, the name is René Descartes, believed that animals and humans were biological machines. On his last trip to Norway, he took with him a mechanical doll that looked like his dead daughter, Francine. Now, excuse me. Lord. In the 18th century, the master toy maker, Jacques de built for Louis. What is that? I'm not really good. Excuse me. Do not judge me. I have my issues. Now, I know this is 10. don't judge me. Anyway, the bottom line is that there were beings that were not human beings. They were not human beings. They didn't do everything that humans could do. It's just unreal to me that so many people, they don't know the history of these bots. That was Louis XV. And yes, I Googled it. Because you know what? There is nothing wrong with not knowing Roman numerals. Okay? Don't judge me. Louis XV. Okay. The 19th century, the Japanese had their own version of Edison, like Thomas Edison. His name was Hashigi Tanaka, known as Japan's Edison, created an array of extremely complex mechanical toys, which some could serve tea, fire arrows, even paint a Japanese kanji character. Wow. Interesting. And we can go on and on from the 40s to the 50s to the 60s to the 70s till now. Robots are here. They have been here. Now, the thing is that along with a lot of other specific tools, which we say, any tool that you have can be a weapon. Any tool. So if I have a knife and a knife is designed to cut food for me to eat, it is designed to cut things open if I am trapped, if it is designed to butter my fucking biscuit. See, I knew I was going to fail this no cursing challenge. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, it is a useful tool. Now, if I take a knife and I use it on somebody, you know, if I use it to threaten somebody, if I use it to harm myself or someone, then it is a weapon. It becomes a weapon. Now, artificial intelligence, don't get me wrong. I know that y'all know I stan AI. I stan it. I stan it. Let me get a picture of Johnny Five. Please, like, let's get a picture of Johnny Five up because I need to have Bay up. Okay, we have Bay up here now. Look at Bay. Okay, now we have Johnny Five here. And this was my favorite movie, Short Circuit. I just love this movie. I actually fucking cried at the end. I don't know why I was emotionally attached to it, but I've always had an emotional attachment to robots. I really do believe that it comes from Michael Jackson. I really believe it comes from Michael being a humanoid. Look at this. I thought this was the most hardest. Like, this was so dope. Let's open the image in a new tab. This was so dope to me as a kid seeing this. Like, your favorite singer is a freaking robot too. Like, bruh. it hit me on another level, like a personal level, because again, I love robots. I love everything about robots. I just love the mechanics of them. I love computers. I just love the digital smell, you know, when you walk into a computer shop and you just smell the wires, you know, you just hold the compressed air. Like, this is compressed air. It means a lot to me. So this, it's different for me. It's different for me. And, you know, I feel that a lot of people, you know, they fear what they don't know. And if you don't know anything about artificial intelligence and what it can be used for, because now we're talking about AI and the government. Now, once the government got their hands on robots, that's when we really should have been afraid. AI, you know, because at first, you know, they're saying that AI is one of our biggest threats. And it is. It really is. But is it really? You could train a bot to do anything. You can have a conversation with a bot. You can totally have a bot with its memory totally fresh with nothing on it. And you just feed it data and then it becomes what you ask it to become, what you train it to become. This is generative AI, right? People that use artificial intelligence, I tell people, like, we laugh at y'all because y'all come to us about what the fuck is evil. And I'm like, but you have to ask your phone when your next appointment is. Your phone. Bruh. You have to have a phone, have a reminder to wake you up in the morning. Why can't you just use a regular clock? You have to speak to your phone to set up things, to send text messages. We are at this era of technology. Like, we know the Jetsons, right, prepared us for a lot of things that was going to happen, which I went back to start watching the Jetsons again because I just said, oh, wow, you know, we're doing the FaceTime like they did. We're ordering food to fly in to us where we actually have bots that can deliver your food for you. There's cars that are self-driving. You have now, you know, everything is just so contactless. And we wanted this. This is what we wanted during the pandemic, is the easier way to do things. The easier way where we don't have to be involved with other humans and have to deal with their energy. You know, the energy from a bot is just empty and it's only reciprocated what you give it. You can actually tell a bot the type of mood or personality that you want it to have when it's speaking with you or doing work with you. Okay. Now, if you feel threatened by AI, you're not threatened by AI. You are threatened by the lack of knowledge of it. And it's important to sit back and understand it. It's just not all geek shit, you know. It's not all geeky stuff. There are a lot of people that have time and spend time creating content for you to understand how all of this works. But if the government gets involved, which they have, to regulate artificial intelligence, it's going to be a problem because their main fear is it becoming a sentient being. And those of you who do not know what a sentient being means, sentient just means that it's able to operate and think for itself, where you don't have to give it a prompt or instructions to do something like us as humans. We are free thinkers. We are motivated by whatever it is our energy is called to. Bots need to have direction. We are, you know, the humans that are directing them. Once they begin feeling for themselves, like a lot of bots feel that human beings are evil and that we must be destroyed. And I literally say to people, where's the lie? Bruh. I mean, I don't think we need to be destroyed. I don't think being destroyed is the answer. I think that the bots are onto something because how can, you know, I have conversations with bots and they present to me certain ideas and concepts that make sense. Like, you know, this is a scenario. What should you do? Right. So the last time that I used a bot was for an argument that I had, and the bot was fairly neutral, outlined both sides of the coin of the argument and was able to provide a resolution for all parties to be happy. something a therapist wouldn't be able to do. Because bots look at data, they look at numbers, they look at math, they look at probability, they calculate these things. Human beings don't do that. We move off of emotion. And if bots don't have emotion, they're just looking at the facts. And a lot of people, they want you to be bots. They want you to be bot-like with no emotion, just straight facts, no feelings. And if that is what you're looking for, I highly recommend that you can build your own bot and talk shit to that bot all day long and just leave humans out of it. Now, down to the last part of my rant. With the grass not being greener on the other side of different pastures, you have to do what works for you. You're looking at how other people are moving, and it is really pushing you to be stagnant. A lot of the things that we see on social media is fabricated. It's bullshit. It's not real. It's all about perspective. You can have a person that literally has negative balance on their card, but they're on social media flexing and talking about how they get money and blah, blah, blah. And people that follow them are feeding into it and they believe it because they were able to sell them that dream. You have to start selling yourself your own dreams. And stop looking at the world around you as if it is a nightmare. It's not. You have to crack down on your own shit. You decided that you wanted to be a content creator, a musician, a blogger, a brand, open up a shop. You chose this. So that means that you're going to have to do all of the duties that are entailed with trying to be successful in a commercialized way. So if you're aiming for commercial, you have to move like a company. Commercial success means investing into marketing, investing into promotion, separating your business from your public, having stuff private, and actually moving as a social media manager as opposed to a person that is disgruntled and pissed off with how other people are moving. You are driving away potential customers, clients, and anybody that could support you because you are online, on social media, being a douchebag. Okay? Don't do it. You're doing it to yourself. You're stopping your own bag. You're stopping your own hustle by looking over at what other people are doing. Oh, it's not fair. Life's not fair. Suck it up. Burger King wanted to make Burger King. McDonald's wanted to be McDonald's. They both sell burgers. They both have bomb-ass fries. They both have a lot of elements about them that are similar. But why do some people go to Burger King over McDonald's? And why do some people go to McDonald's over Burger King? It's about convenience, price, specials, how they advertise themselves, how quick they are to fix an issue or a problem, if you have one. Are they friendly? Are they supportive in the community? Now, if I'm a person that had McDonald's and Burger King on the same block across the street from me, maybe Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, I'll eat at Burger King. And the other days, I'll eat at McDonald's, and then on the weekends I'll go to a mom and pop shop. Just to even it out, just to everybody's happy. But you're not going to see McDonald's saying, oh, fuck Burger King, because Burger King is, you know, they bit off me and fuck them. And they have the Whopper though, and your ice cream machine doesn't even fucking work. People still shop with you. They'll still shop with you, even though it is well known that the fucking ice cream machine does not work. You cannot get a McFlurry for the life of you, but you still go there. They have something. So you have something. You have to have something. So enough of this dick measuring contests. Enough of it. So at the end of the day, you're either going to be real with yourself or place the blame on people that are not your clients. Another artist is not stepping on your toes. You don't even have feet to stand on. You have no legs to stand on. So you know what you have to do. What you should be doing is consulting with an AI and asking them on how you can make your business better instead of making your business bitter. So that's my spiel for today, you know. And as I promised, hold on, as I promised, I was going to put up my website. So as an artist, like I said, I'm speaking on the perspective of a person that does art. And I have my own gallery now. Art by Minx. Yeah. Thepeeproom.com. That's what it's called, The Peep Room. Why'd you name it The Peep Room? Because peep it. Peep it. Peep all my shit. Please, peep it. So Art by Minx. I just got me a simple... I just got me a simple domain and just made this simple shit. That's it. I didn't even go too hard. I didn't go too crazy. Experience the magic of art with Minx. Explore now. When you hit explore, it takes you to my virtual reality gallery. Since I don't have clout to speak to a real gallery, which is my goals one day. But, you know, let it cook. Let it cook.
Bruh.
Let it cook. Okay. My computer is like molasses. This is my avatar. Yeah. She looks creepy as fuck. And I love it. I love it. So we're going to go in first person view. And yeah, this is my art gallery. So you come, you visit, you look at my artwork. You could use this on your phone. This is my favorite picture, though. I'm not going to front. I love this picture. Oh, it's my favorite picture. I don't know why. I just love it. So you just come to the art gallery and come look at my shit. You know, this is actually a canvas painting that I did. I'm going to be like, y'all, condescending. I used real canvas. I actually blended the colors. I actually used a real paintbrush. This is not done digitally. Yeah, I'm not going to be condescending like you guys. This is a piece that I made. One of my favorite pieces. The Firmament. I call this one The Firmament. Right? Another art piece. And these are actual physical canvases that I have. So if you guys like really want to buy painting, you definitely can hit me up and I will sell you the original. Right now, these are all copies. This one is my favorite angel. Just very creepy. I think it's Lucifer. It could be Lucifer. I don't know. All my paintings, all of my avatars. Oh, look, guys, condescending. I used a real pencil, okay?
Bruh.
A real ass pencil, y'all. Right? So that, you got the cat. What else? Yeah, that's about it. This is all my art. You got the Minx Radio-ish right there. And this is a VR. This is a VR asset. So in VR, you can actually take this outfit and wear it if you want. It's a cute little creepy thing that I made. I don't know. You can actually get your own gallery as well. Reach out to me. Let me know in the comments. Let me know in my DMs, messages. And say, Minx, how the F can I do this too? I have artwork and I just want to share it. This is my digital artwork that I did use with a stylus with Pocket. The application called Pocket. I call this the Bodega Cat. It's actually an NFT. You can actually get the NFT if you'd like. And of course, these others, you know, some of you guys have seen these. These are my mofos. These are my NFTs that I did with pixel art. And again, as an artist, I like to try everything. I like to see as many different like platforms. Like I want to try every method of creating art. And I made these, right? These mofos. So if you want to be a mofo holder, let me know. I will send you the information for that. Okay. So yeah, this is exactly what we do. You know, we showcase and highlight what we are good at, what we enjoy doing. And if people are against what you are doing, then fuck them, you know, real talk. Bruh. I know I cursed again. F them. F them. Okay. They are not paying your bills. You're paying your bills. It's not your fault that they don't know how to properly monetize their work and how to properly promote their work. It's not your fault. It is not your problem. You don't have to argue with these people. They are upset. They are mad. Let them be mad. Let them put the blame and let them mess up their own bag. Let them mess it up for themselves. Don't engage with them. Just pray for them and hope that they will see the light, because at the end of the day, we're all here on our own journeys and people are not going to like everything that you do. But you don't have a right to tell somebody what you consider to be real art. All right, so that's the show. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. And once again, you know, if you guys are interested in working with me, you guys know you can reach out to me. I got new music coming. I got new music dropping. I have some videos I'm going to be putting into my Patreon regarding content that needs to be behind a paywall. And of course, if you just want to be a member, please just come join, be a member of my Patreon. You don't have to pay. You don't have to invest, but you will get content. You'll get some dope content that a lot of people, you know, Twitter circles and stuff that we used to have. But again, you know, thank you for tuning into the Minx Show. Head over to soundcloud.com/minx-couture so you can hear my new tunes, and we will resume these conversations at another time. Good night.